and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 206. This is sort of a special episode. I just posted an episode last week, but this is the QuiltCon recap episode, and that's all I talk about. If you are done with QuiltCon, if you have no interest in QuiltCon, I mean, you should still listen because it's me, come on. But you could also skip if you just, I mean, because I don't know about your Instagram feed, but my Instagram feed has been pretty much all QuiltCon all the time for the last few days, which if you've been is great. One of the interesting things though is people have been posting pictures of quilts they love, which is wonderful because it allows you to revisit these quilts and see what other people were kind of digging on and what struck people's eyes and fancy. But at the same time, you start forming this impression like, oh my goodness, all the quilts looked alike. But it's not that, it's just you're seeing the same quilt over and over again. So it's a really unfair evaluation of the show. It's not, they didn't all look alike, but when you see that particular quilt 30 times, you start kind of getting that feeling. But no, there was a lot of neat stuff. I talk about it in the quilt diary. I'm not going to go over it now. Next week or in the next week or so, let's keep it vague, I will get back to our regular broadcasting schedule. But here, for what it's worth, are my ideas, my visions, my insights to QuiltCon 2017. Quilt Diary Day 1, although this may be the only day, I want to do kind of a QuiltCon special. My hope was, my plan was, and my dream was that I would come home and have this great overarching sensibility of the show. You know, way of wrapping it up and saying here in essence is what this show was. And I'm not there yet. And I don't think I'm going to get there. Too much going on, too much happening, and a whole lot of quilts. Now I did hear people say, oh, this is smaller. They felt like it was smaller than the Pasadena show. I've talked to several people who have been to all of the shows, or I think this was the fourth show, is that right? So three out of the four shows. And that was part of their sense. Smaller vendor area, definitely. I heard that a lot. And just maybe a bit of a smaller space. Savannah is an interesting place to have the show. On the one hand, it's a beautiful city. It's a historic town, which makes driving in it a nightmare as far as I'm concerned. And that's why I'm glad I had my friend, Quilt and Jenny, who did all the driving. I paid for parking when she let me, but she drove. Because I'm a little bit of a nervous driver. Beautiful city. The convention center itself is on an island off the city. You could probably swim it, except you'd have to be swimming across a river. And that can be hard to do. But it's really not that far. I think the ferry ride took 5 minutes, I think. I didn't take the ferry, but I think it was actually a fairly short ride. But Jen and I and Holly Ann, when she came to join us, just drove over across the bridge. There wasn't anything to it. The convention center itself is nice. It has a lot of natural light, which is really pleasant because I've been into convention centers that basically have zero natural light. And they're really depressing. But I felt this was light and airy and the space felt good to me. This show. I actually have in front of me notes, just a general guide to keep me from getting too rambly. So actually, you know what, even before I discuss the show, just a little note about the Modern Quilt Guild. I know there's been a lot of chatter, I feel like in the last 4 months in particular, about the Modern Quilt Guild. There have been people who are frustrated with it, done with it, separating from it, not very happy with the general Modern Quilt Guild direction or lack of direction, et cetera, et cetera. And as you may know, my experience with the guild has been to some extent limited. I've only really recently gotten involved with my local guild, and I adore the people there. I saw a bunch of them at the at QuiltCon, and it was so nice to see hometown folks. So on the smallest level, I have been happy with the Modern Quilt Guild. I know that's not true for everyone, but it's been a fairly short history. So I am not out to deny anyone else their history with the guild. And I don't think it's an unhealthy thing for some guilds to break off. In fact, I think it might be really healthy for that to happen. I think it might allow for new growth, both for these guilds that have seceded, as well as for the Modern Quilt Guild itself. And I am sure that the board of the guild is aware that people have been frustrated in a variety of ways. And I feel like they're trying to up their game. The website has been updated. It's much more easy to navigate. I feel like the guild is doing more to give content, make your membership worthwhile. And to that end, we have the Fresh Quilt Show, which is airing on PBS. But if you're a Modern Quilt Guild member, you can watch online. So you add that to the webinars. Now, I have not seen the Fresh Quilts. I went, it sort of premiered on Thursday night at QuiltCon. And so I caught the tail end, which was the most marvelous Jackie Gehring, who I adore, and I met and just fangirled all over. So it was her doing walking foot quilting, and that was fabulous. And I watched a little bit of the second one, but it wasn't really in my wheelhouse. And also, I just really gotten into town, and I was really hungry. So I'll talk about it. I will certainly watch the series, and I'll at some later point, we'll talk about it, and I'll give you my thoughts on it. But I think whatever it ends up being, it's a really cool thing to have that available. And the show was great, and I heard lots of good things. I didn't hear anyone say, oh, wow, this really sucked. I did talk to a woman from Australia who said she actually had been traveling all over the States with her husband and came to Savannah. And she said if she'd just come for QuiltCon, she said that would have been a lot of long, long ways to travel for what was sort of a smaller show. You know, we're talking 300 quilts, which felt overwhelming to me, but I get it. You know, some of these shows are big, 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 and this was not big, big, big. But it seemed big to me. But it's all a matter of perspective, right? But she, since the show was in Savannah, and Savannah's a wonderful town to walk around, and there's lots to see and do, she felt like that made coming to Savannah and coming to QuiltCon worth it for her. But I didn't hear people expressing dismay or criticism, feeling like this isn't all that. There may be that. We may hear some of that. But most people I talked to were having a great time. I didn't take any classes because I did not get into any classes. The lectures I went to were very good. Mary Fonds, wonderful. But I'll talk about those. I'm going to talk about my own experience a little later. Mostly what I heard about the classes were good. I did hear some people who were not overwhelmed by the classes they took. So that's something that other people will have to critique. Since I didn't experience the classes, but I did talk to people, and there were any number of people said, oh yeah, it was a really great class. It was a really good class. And a few of them, I think, were underwhelming classes. As for the show itself, I loved it. I did talk to a friend of mine who's been to all the shows, and she felt that she didn't love it. Although there were quilts that she loved. She felt like she was seeing some stagnation in modern quilting. That is not my feeling. And this is my first QuiltCon, but I certainly have been paying attention to modern quilts for a long time and making them. And I actually have the opposite feeling. I think people are starting to branch out and do different things. Now, that said, I saw a lot of quilts that I felt like, even if I hadn't seen that quilt before, I had seen that kind of quilt before. I had seen similar quilts. The modern palette, that seems a bit stagnant to me. What you see, what I saw a lot of, were the blues, teals, the sort of grayish, dark blue-gray, which you might call a cadet blue. No, I think a cadet blue is a little lighter gray, but you would see a lighter blue-gray. So, but a dark blue with a little gray in it. I'm not sure you would, and it's almost like a flat blue, if you know what I mean. It's not a vibrant blue. So saw a lot of that. Saw a lot of coral and peach. Saw a lot of mustard yellow, plum purples, a lot of orange. Interestingly, not a ton of red. So Crystal Watson had a beautiful quilt in the show that was red, white, and black. And not only was it a very striking quilt just in and of itself, to me it was striking for its use of red. Now, you may have gone to the show and you may have a completely different perspective on it, and I would love to hear that. I would love for you to comment or email and say, actually, what I saw was such and such and so, because I'd love to hear it, because I think, you know, this is a fairly subjective critique. And as I said, I did not walk out going, oh, okay, here's the big picture. I'm not sure I have a big picture, but I will say that was maybe as far as a critique, not of the show itself, maybe of the show, but of maybe of modern quilting. It's like, man, girls, we got to develop the palette. Now, what I did see were more prints than I expected to see, used in interesting ways. I talked to a woman named Jen. She's part of the Facebook group, The Twilters. She's from California, so different from, not Quilting Jenny, but Jen from Orange County. And she has been, I believe, to 3 quilt cons. And so I asked her if the prints, the use of prints was really new this year. She said no. She felt like she had seen prints in Pasadena, but she thought that prints were being used differently. But in general, I was excited by the use of prints. I think that will just, people, we can do all kinds of interesting things with prints. So I only saw a handful of quilts where I thought, what you doing in here? Quilts that I didn't think were well constructed, didn't think were visually interesting, didn't have particularly great quilting, but really maybe 3 or 4 quilts where I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get these quilts. But there's a lesson that I learned, or something I just realized, although this came up with Melissa Abarino's quilt last year, people talking about the difference between seeing it in person and seeing it in real life. I think a lot of quilts are different in photographs than they are in real life. You know, one thing in photographs, even if you're given the dimensions of the quilt, you know, a small quilt can seem very big, and then you see it in real life, and it's like the Mona Lisa, right? It's actually tiny. You're like, ah. So, for instance, the winning quilt, Bling, beautiful quilt. I first saw it when Quilt and Jenny showed me a picture. I got into Savannah Thursday night, so wasn't able to see the show. I got in too late to see the show. So Jen showed it, a picture to me, and it was interesting because on the one hand, when she said, okay, here's what it is, it's a diamond and the facets of a diamond, and I was just like, oh my goodness. And it was super cool, and I liked it in general. Even before I realized what it was, I liked it, although the palette seemed a little cool for my taste, a little muted. But then when I saw it in the show, I could almost not see the diamond, right? But I really liked the quilt in person. It seemed like, because it was warmer. I saw colors in it that I didn't see in the photograph that Jen showed me. Had a really hard time seeing the diamond, but I still really loved the quilt. It was just visually really interesting, beautifully constructed, big, a big quilt. Just really, I did not hear any chatter about, wow, I can't believe this was the quilt they chose. And I would be hard pressed to go, oh no, it should have been that quilt. It was a really great choice, a really great quilt. But anyway, so looking at some of these quilts in which you're going, huh, how did that get in? You do realize it's like, may have been a great picture, right? May something had turned up in the photograph that wasn't there live. On the other hand, you know, I got the QuiltCon magazine and there were quilts that I had loved live that were a little flattened out by the photography. So it's a really interesting thing how that, whether you're seeing the real life quilt or a picture of the quilt, changes your experience of the quilt, your impressions of the quilt. So saw again that palette. I think maybe if you follow modern quilts, if I say that modern quilt palette, you're like, yeah, know what you mean. Not a ton of yellow. Probably most prevalent yellow, I think, was mustard yellow, right? So
Yeah, a lot of orange. And I say this as someone who had a quilt, the Modern Birds in the Air quilt, that was periwinkle blue and dark blue and coral. So I'm not saying, not like me, because I really blew the lid off the whole palette thing. I'm like, no, my other quilt, of course, is orange and black and white and gray. So really, I'm not saying, fortunately, you have me as an innovator in this field. I'm not. But it's interesting when you see this whole big collection of quilts and you notice that and you really start looking for quilts that are busting out. And I didn't see a lot. The quilts, what was nice, Jen pointed this out to me, that the backgrounds for the quilts, so often at quilt shows, the backgrounds, they're hung against black, right? And these were hung against sort of a, I don't know, not white, an off-white, a wheat, I'd have to look. But I thought that, and that was really nice. One, sometimes quilt shows, they're in these convention centers, there's not a lot of natural light, and then you've got these black backgrounds. And certainly there are quilts that really pop against a black background, so I'm not saying it's an aesthetically poor choice, except that overall sometimes you have this very dark feeling. So for modern quilts, it felt great to have something a little different. You walked in, and it was nice because there was a lot of natural light coming into the showroom, that big space, the cavernous space where everything was happening. So that was nice. Most of the quilts, there's a large center aisle. Most of the quilts were to the left. And then on the right were was the Angela Walters special exhibit, the quilt of the month from the Modern Quilt Guild. One of the interesting things for me is one of the quilts of the month was the Meeting of the Geese quilt, which is the one when I did the Birds in the Air project, made all these different quilts. That was the one pattern I used. So it was really interesting to see that in real life, see that quilt, which I love. It was a little weird because I'm like, did that quilt make it in? I don't think I submitted that quilt. I'm like, yeah, that's because it's not your quilt, honey. It's not your quilt. The quilting on that was a diagonal straight line, and I did concentric circles, which I actually like better, just as a choice. I'm not saying that my quilting itself was better, but just, but it was very nicely quilted. So that was neat to see. So that was over there, the youth quilts, some of which were just fabulous. You may have seen, if you go on Instagram and do hashtag QuiltCon 2017, you may have seen the whale quilt, which I think won second place and was darling. Seeing the youth quilts will make you feel like quilting has a really great future. Some of these quilts were really well constructed, really well done, very exciting. The small quilts were over there as well as the applique quilts. I thought that while there were some stunning small quilts, and I believe the small quilts could not be bigger than 36 by 24, and many of them did not get close to 36 by 24. A couple of them I thought were actually bigger, but I could be wrong. The winning quilt was gorgeous, absolutely beautiful. But I actually thought the small quilts was the weakest category. So if you're looking to break into QuiltCon, figure out how to do a small quilt that is visually arresting. I think it's just, design-wise, it's hard to do. It's really hard to do. And again, there were some really lovely quilts in there, so I don't want to say, nothing to look at there. There were things to look at. But you know, with Bauhaus Birds in the Air, which is one of my quilts that was in, originally it was actually 36 by 24. But I ended up adding kind of a border to it. It's not the border is orange, it blends. But just because, you know, because if I'd left it right at 36-24, I'm not skilled enough to have that absolutely square. So it helped me square the quilt to add. So that took it out of that category because I think at that point then it became 40 inches wide. Looking at the small quilts, I almost thought, I kind of wish, especially when I saw a couple quilts, I'm like, I don't think that's 36 by 24. I'm like, oh, maybe I should have submitted Bauhaus over there. Maybe it would have been a contender for a ribbon. But you know what? I felt like the quilts on that side, the right side, weren't really getting as much love and attention. So I'm really glad that Bauhaus was actually where it was. The right side where the applique youth quilts, small quilts, were felt a bit more crowded. These quilts were smaller, for one thing, but there was a bit more crowded. And this way, it's like I got my own panel. Applique quilts, beautiful, but very few. You know, so that's another place. If you get a chance, find some pictures of the applique quilts. They're gorgeous. Particularly like Kristen Shields. She's someone I follow on Instagram and I think is a really interesting designer. But the owl quilt, you may have seen it, it's really just the owl eye. I think it's an owl, whatever it is, it's really super cool. But yeah, I thought the way that people were using applique was quite interesting. Thomas Knauer had to dig my brain. This is Monday, by the way. I think it's February 27th. So I'm still, my brain is still recovering from 3 days of solid talking to people. That Thomas Knauer, who I think his applique quilt was a Trayvon Martin quilt. It was beautiful. It had some of his word quilting in the background. Beautiful quilt. I believe that was the second place quilt. Very deserving. It could have won first place too. Stunning quilt. I thought the quilts that were in applique, first of all, very innovative usage of applique, stunning quilts, but not a lot of them. I thought, huh, this could be a field that's, you know, they may, you know, think about some modern applique. That's what I would say. If you're thinking I'd like to submit to QuiltCon, I would really ponder doing that. Yes, so the bulk of the show, left side, bigger quilts, some really big quilts. That's something. If I submit next year, which I may, we'll talk about it later in the year, or it would actually be in November, I would do something big. There were some big quilts, and they were just so visually arresting, you know, although machine quilting one of them, but really cool looking quilts. I don't know if it's called the viewer's favorite, people's choice, whatever quilt that won, which, had I been a betting woman, I would have bet one. And you can find it, I'm sure, if you put QuiltCon 2017 Lincoln quilt in your Google engine, you will see it. Stunning quilt. Really good. Some really wonderful quilts. One of my favorites. So there was a 9-patch challenge. I can't remember who sponsored it. And some of those quilts are like, huh, I don't know. But the one that won, fabulous. Fabulous, innovative, creative design. Beautifully constructed, beautifully quilted. Saw a lot of straight line quilting. One of my favorite things is one day Jen and our friend Carmeet, who came in from Munich, who I've been Facebook friends with and podcasty friends with and everything for, I don't know, a long time now, it feels like. We were looking at quilts and really looking at the quilting. There were some quilts that just had amazing quilting. Probably, and it was funny because I think the quilt that was had the best quilting was not a quilt I particularly loved, but the quilting was just so innovative and beautiful. I was just like, wow. And I know a lot of other people posted that as one of their favorite quilts because of the quilting. They might have also loved the quilt itself. I didn't. But I didn't care because love the quilting. Carmeet, and I hope she won't mind me sharing this with you, getting a little tired of the straight line quilting. Now, me and straight line quilting, I feel like it's a utility quilting. Sometimes it really adds to a quilt. Very rarely do I find it detracts from a quilt. Although I saw a couple quilts where I didn't think it looked good, quite frankly. And there were quilts where, on the one hand, I didn't feel like it detracted from the quilt, but you would sit there and look at the quilt and go, wow, there were so many other things. Now, understand, if you haven't done a lot of machine quilting, then the straight line quilting is God's gift to you, right? Because it's pretty easily done. If you do it densely enough, you don't even have to have that straight of lines, right? I think that's what Krista Watson says. If your lines look wobbly, just sew another line right in between them. You know, it starts looking like a style choice. But I did. And that was an interesting thing to look at. You know, as a writer, I do this all the time because I'm very aware of authors making choices. And I'm very aware two of the other choices they might have made at certain crossroads and or forks in the road. And sometimes I think, wow, that was a great choice. And other times I'm thinking, you just really took the road most traveled. And so there were quilts where the quilt was made by the quilting. There was a quilt. It was lovely. There were a lot of bird quilts, by the way. Jed kept saying, you started a trend. I'm like, no, I think I may have somehow managed to step into the zeitgeist. But there were a lot of bird quilts. And one that I really loved that used a lot of prints. But what really made it was the quilting. It was this wave. It wasn't a really complicated quilting, but it was the perfect quilting for the quilt. This quilt, it was about birds. And it was just this wave, various waves that really gave the quilt a sense of movement. And I think without that quilting, I'm not saying it would be like visually completely uninteresting, but it was just an example of how quilting can make a quilt. You know, Krista Watson, who I got to spend time with, I'll talk about it later. She's so lovely. Posted something fairly recently on Facebook. I think showing quilting is the same quilting, but with different threads. And how different the impact of each, you know, the different threads was. And I saw some quilting using colored threads that was brilliant. Brilliantly done. People stopping midline and switching threads. And Jen and I looked at one quilt and we're like, I can't tell how she changed threads. Is it the thread color changing? Or is it the fabric will change your thread color if you're using kind of a neutral thread color. We stared at that for the longest time and couldn't figure it out. But it was a great usage of thread color. So that was to me, that's just like, oh, this makes me, that's how I'm a geek. I am geeky about machine quilting and trying to figure out, again, why does some quilting work? Why does some quilting not work? And how does some just absolutely make the quilt? That was really fun to look at. And I thought I saw some really interesting quilting. There's a lot of straight line. So, you know, Carmine's not wrong. But I am totally sympathetic to quilters who are like, this is what I can do. It's going to hold the quilt together. It's going to look fine. It's not going to detract from the quilt. And sometimes that's just all we can hope for. So I get that. But what was exciting is to see other quilts with really innovative quilting, to see quilts that were long-armed in really innovative ways. Because sometimes long-armed quilting can feel same old, same old. You know, and I understand, and this is not anything against long-armers. I know they're doing, you know, what their clients are requesting, right? So no dig against long armors. But this made me excited for long armors. Like, oh man, there's all this really cool stuff you can do. So I loved a lot of the long arm quilting that I saw. I thought it was beautiful. So I thought it was a great show. It had weak spots, but I didn't feel like many. I disagree with my friend who feels like modern quilting is stagnated, because I felt like I was seeing an evolution. I think that what we're seeing now is quilters who maybe when they started out were complete newbies, as I was, right, who are learning the skills they need, who are experimenting, who are branching out. And so I enjoyed the show. I will tell you, my big plan was to go back Sunday morning. So I looked at it every day. First day, just kind of did a walkthrough and wanted to get an overall sense of things and then go back to quilts to, you know, to really examine. Although I did the first day. That was, I think, the day that Jen and Carmine and I walked around a little bit looking at quilting. Spent some more time on Saturday. And I thought Sunday morning I went over and I was by myself. And that was going to be my big plan, to really make sure I'd seen the whole show. But I'm going to tell you what, by Sunday morning, I couldn't see anymore. I had just spent so much time looking at quilts that I really was just walking. I couldn't do what I had done on Friday, which is really going up and going, look at this, look at that, look at this. I just couldn't do it. But I thought it was grand. I saw so much that was exciting. A lot of people, the comment I heard was, oh, it's like being at an art show. And it was. You know I love traditional quilts. I do. But this has been my favorite quilt show, just for looking, just for seeing innovation and color. Even if, okay, kind of the same color. Girls, we got to work on that. But it was like being in an art show. It was very exciting to me. I had, at traditional shows, there are always quilts I love, but sometimes I feel there are more quilts that I admire. As a quilter, I admire the work. I admire the skills and the techniques. At this show, I loved more quilts. I was excited by more quilts. So I thought overall it was just wonderful.
Okay, part two. I'm going to talk about my experience at QuiltCon. It was great. I had a great experience. So part one of my experience of QuiltCon was friends. Quilt and Jenny from Atlanta and I shared a house. Most darling house. Tiny. It really was a townhouse in the historic district. Tiny little house. I think the houses on that street were all attached to one another. The decoration was all this old vintage stuff, vintage cameras, vintage dispensing machines like crackers and perfume dispensing machines. It was just really fun, but not overdone. It was done really well. I said it was like Cracker Barrel, if Cracker Barrel were like super cool and not excessive. Yeah. Jen's great. You know, we've been friends for a long time via the interwebs, as well as we have met in person. I went down to her guild, the Chattahoochee Evening Stars, a little bit north of Atlanta, to premiere Birds in the Air. And that's when we got to meet in first person for the first time. And as far as I'm concerned, it was love at first sight. So I was excited about rooming with Jen, and we had fun. I had fun. Jen, you might have had a horrible time. And I'm such a mess. She's like very neat, and all my stuff just kind of got spread all over, but she tolerated me. Holly Ann joined us on Friday. Holly Ann, also from the Atlanta area. You might know her through Quilts for a Cure, her new nonprofit, which Jackie Gehring gushed over, telling her she was proud of Holly Ann for actually doing something real instead of just talking about doing something, doing some real good in the world. So if you're interested, and I'll try to remember to link to it, Holly Ann, if I don't link to it, remind me and I'll go in and link to it as soon as you tell me to. Link to Quilts for a Cure. You can donate blocks, and it's just a great project. This is making quilts for kids with cancer. So Holly Ann joined us on Friday, and I told them, Holly Ann and Jen, I was not staying up to midnight because I had the night before talking with Jen. So I stayed up till 11:45, and that was fun. Saw a bunch of friends from the Twilters group on Facebook, which is a group, if you are not familiar with it, for people who kind of, this a podcast community. Pam from The Stitch and Hip to Be a Square, you know, I've been calling it homemade podcasts as opposed to the more professionally produced podcasts. She calls them cozy podcasts. So from the cozy quilting podcasts, such as Lazy Daisy Quilts, Wheezy Works, Hip to Be a Square, Off Kilter Quilt, etc. So met Daisy, that's Lazy Daisy Quilts, Tina from Wheezy Works, and Pam, who at this point we're like an old married couple. I've run into Pam so many times. Lynn from The Stitch also there. I love Lynn. I think she's just fabulous. Love everybody. But it was so great to meet people. In a lot of ways I felt like I already knew. Roylynn from the Twilters, met her, made a new Twilter friend. Jen from Orange County, who I've already mentioned. So that was really nice. Got to spend time with the most fabulous Krista Watson. You know her as the amazing machine quilter, has a new Craftsy class, highly recommend, has books, highly recommend, is an amazing human being, highly recommend. And I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to spend time with Krista. Krista's been so supportive of Birds in the Air. And even today, she just posted a picture of my quilt Bauhaus Birds in the Air and, you know, said one of my favorite quilts in the show, read her books, do go quilt fiction, Birds in the Air, all this stuff. And she's just been like that forever. And I really appreciate that because, you know, she has close to 10,000 Instagram followers, right? That makes a difference when she does it, when she links to, when she mentions Birds in the Air, which she's done many times. It makes a difference. All of a sudden, the man's going, why are we getting so many people buying the book? I'm like, because Krista mentioned it. And she doesn't have to do that. She is a power for good in our community. It was so busy, I just assumed we would not have chance to meet up, but I was coming back from a lecture and there she was, and she said, Frances, come sit by me, and we chatted
for about 30 minutes. Amy from Lynchburg, who Amy, oh, Amy, I'm going to find your, hold on. Amy from Amy's Free Motion Quilting Adventures. She was hanging with Krista, so I got to meet her. She was had listened to the Off Kilter Quilt back in the early days, and she reminded me there was some quilt I quilted. I don't even remember which quilt it was. This was a few years back. Free Motion Quilting, doing the mitten thing, right? You know that? You make the thumb, you make the body of the mitten. Suddenly I looked down at my quilting, and it looked really, really phallic. I'm like, oh my goodness, I cannot give anyone this quilt. And I remember she commented, because I remember, because she had a similar experience where, you know, she'd done some quilting and like, does that really look what I think it does? And she took it into a room and held up the quilt and like, what does this look like to you? And everybody just started cracking up. So she knew what it looked like to them. And I remember that comment. Anyway, so she was delightful. Had a really nice 30 minutes. Other people came and joined us and said hello. So I felt like I met a lot of new people too. I hung out, I volunteered with the Quilt Alliance. If you're not familiar with the Quilt Alliance, please become so, quiltalliance.org. I'll link to it in the show notes. Love Amy and Emma, the Quilt Alliance gals. I've been doing some volunteering with them for a little while now. And so I went and volunteered, met Connie from Burlington, also volunteering, Burlington, North Carolina. So she was my basically 30 minutes away. Yeah, so I met a lot of great people, and just sitting there talking to people, people stopping by, people, you know, grabbing people who were walking down and looked halfway interested. I know I actually really didn't do that, because as an introvert, I like to be able, I will signal to you if I'm interested in you coming telling me more about your product, about your organization. So I just waited, and if someone was really reading the material, really looking at the wall hanging, then I might, you know, kind of sidle over and say, can I give you some information? And some people really wanted to engage. And at that point I would talk to them. So people wise, the show could not have been better. Just seeing old friends, meeting people, online friends for the first time, hanging out with Jen and Holly Ann, who are like, I feel like my quilty family, you know? And it was so funny because Holly Ann is a bit younger than I am, I believe by about 27 years. I think I did the math right on that. And she does not feel like, I don't feel maternal toward her, but it was funny. I was like, oh, she's like the younger sister I never had that my mother had 27 years after I was born. Like, I don't think that would have worked out for my mom really well. But anyway, but she did leave Saturday night kind of late. And Jen and I were both like, now text us when you get home. I don't care how late it is. And she did, like a good girl. Anyway, so hanging out with people was great. Jackie Gehring is just fabulous, and I fangirled on her like nobody's business. It was Saturday, late, 5:30. The show was really emptying out. Holly Ann and I were waiting for Jen, and there was Jackie Gehring. I'm like, I gotta have a picture. And so she graciously said, sure. And then we were chatting, and it was just like, oh, she's so wonderful. She's so warm and down to earth. And, you know, I can't remember if I've told the story in the last section. I don't think I did, but the Angela Walters exhibit was up, and Holly Ann and Jen were looking at it, and they said Jackie Gehring just came up and started chatting, like, which is your favorite quilt? And they had a nice, lovely talk. So we were talking, and we were pretty close to Bauhaus Birds in the Air. And she saw, I think, that I had my ribbon that said, I have a quilt in the show. I said, can I show it to you? And she said, you know what? I'm really supposed to meet someone right now, but I'll go look at it later. Which quilt is it? I said, well, it's called Bauhaus Birds in the Air, and it's got a dark orange background and a flock of birds flying across it. And she said, oh, I know that quilt. I hung that quilt. And I had to do everything to not squeal. I'm 52, almost 53. I have no business squealing. But that thrilled me. That thrilled me. So just a lovely person. Did not get a chance to meet Victoria Finley Wolf. Other people I know did, but I just didn't. I saw her, though. She's so pretty and tall. So maybe next time. I would love to meet her, and I hear she's absolutely lovely too. So that was a great part of the experience. Now, my experience with the show was interesting. Got in Thursday night. Then Friday, I had the whole day free. I didn't get any classes. I had lectures. They were the next day. So Friday, Jen and I got over to the show about 10:30, and we walked around, and we went to find my quilts. And it was really nice because we found Bauhaus birds in the air, and we were standing there, and someone came up behind us and said, "Oh, that's a gorgeous quilt." And of course, Jen, being Jen, said, "Oh," she pointed at me and said, "Oh, she made it." And that was really nice. There were a few times, like when I can't remember, it must have been Jen, took my picture in front of the quilt, and people walked by and said, "Oh, is that your quilt? I really love that quilt." So that was lovely. But then we kind of went separate ways. And at that point, here it is, you know, 11 o'clock Friday morning, the whole day ahead of me. Now, I did have a volunteer slot over at Quilt Alliance at 2 in the afternoon, but I was just like, I felt a little unanchored, you know, because lots of quilts to look at, vendors to look at, all kinds of things to do. And yet I didn't feel, you know, I felt like I said, just a little unanchored, not quite sure what I was doing. I'm like, is this what's going to be like for 3 days? I'm not sure I'm doing a good job of explaining that feeling, but just kind of like, I'm not sure what this is all about. You know, I'm not sure what I'm doing here in some ways. So I walked around, I looked at quilts. At some point I stopped and ate a banana. I should say one of the great things about renting a house is I brought stuff for lunch and I made my lunch every day. I packed it in a brown paper bag and brought some turkey roll-ups and fruit and almonds and olives, which people thought was really funny. I just drained the olives and put them in a baggie. Like, I can't believe you have olives, but an olive is a really great snack. And I don't know, I think it's probably that afternoon when I was hanging out at Quilt Alliance. First of all, these were my hometown gals. Amy and Emma live in this area too. And I've spent, you know, a good portion of time with them. So I feel like I know them. I mean, they're my friends, right? And so that was good. It's like, okay, here are my friends who I've known in real life for a couple of years now. Is that right? Yeah, almost 2 years. And then that gave me an opportunity to talk to other people. The other thing is I had quiltfiction.com buttons, and I didn't know how to hand them out. I'm like, I'm here with 200 buttons. Am I going to go home with 200 buttons? And I had birds in the air cards, and I felt like there was going to be a lot of button activity, and there didn't seem to be. So then it's like, then why am I here if I'm not, you know, I'm here to see my quilt, and I just wanted to experience QuiltCon, but also it was like part of the justification was, you know, doing some publicity for Birds in the Air and for Quilt Fiction. And if I'm not doing that, then it feels like, huh, you know, I'm spending a lot of money to not really do that. But Amy was fine with me putting out cards and buttons on the table at Quilt Alliance, so that was nice. So sometimes when I talk to people, you know, I kind of put in a little plug. I said, would you like a button? This is actually this is my button, not a Quilt Alliance button, and would chat with them a little bit. That night, by this time, I'm already, okay, it's Friday. By the time I'm there 24 hours, I'm already totally exhausted. And Lynn and Pam come find me at 5-ish, 5:30-ish. And I guess it was 5 because that's when my shift was done. And they're like, let's go have an introvert's dinner. Now, Carmeet joined us, and that was wonderful. She's less of an introvert, I think. But that's good because we needed someone to keep the conversation going. And we went to a really lovely little restaurant. The food was delicious. And and so it was a nice dinner. It was just the four of us, and that felt nice just to be kind of in a smaller space, a small group. And then I'm trying to think. Oh, and then Lynn drove me home, which was so nice. So Saturday, I had lectures. Went to see Mary Fonds at 9. She's fabulous. I've spent a lot of time studying quilt history. I'm not by no means an expert, but I know the general story, and that's kind of what she was telling. And I didn't mind. She's such a good speaker. I'm like, I already know all this, but I would stay here for 2 more hours if you would just keep talking. I would listen. She's fabulous. If you ever have a chance to hear her speak, do it. I also talked to someone who took her YSEAM class, loved it, so she's a great teacher. So take advantage of Mary Fonds if she comes your way. That sounded wrong. You know what I mean. Wandered around a little bit, and oh, yeah, it was after the lecture. And what was nice is some people from my quilt guild were there. Patty, who I'm getting to be friends with. So we found each other, and she said, all right, it's 10 o'clock when the floor opens. We're going to go get some freebies. And I was like, okay, let's do it. I hadn't really been interested in that. I'm like, why not? Why not experience this? So that was fun. There was, you know, so different booths had different, like, you know, scraps. One place could kind of have scraps, but had fabric available. And at Mark Miller, you could pick four fabrics and they would cut it for you. And you had to come back and get it to make sort of a block for a charity quilt or something. I'll have to look at the directions on that. So there were a number of places stood in line. There was one place where we spun a wheel and got fabric. And yeah, that was really fun. So I was glad that Patty encouraged me to do that. So it was fun again to see someone from home. She went to do something else, and suddenly I was seeing people with the name tags on the straps. I don't know if you call what you call those straps, but you know what I mean. Around their necks. Straps around their necks at the end, name tag. So, and they had buttons. So I just started handing out buttons. Some people had buttons to give as well. Some people didn't, and they seemed so, they're like excited to get buttons. They're like, I'm apologetic they didn't have them. I'm like, no problems. I want you to take my button and go look at the Quilt Fiction site. And with the people who actually engaged me a little bit about what is Quilt Fiction, and I would tell them, I said, you know, I'm a writer. And then I had Birds in the Air cards, and I would give them a card too. And like, it's on sale, $2.99 Kindle. So I'm hoping we will make some sales and get some sign-ups at quiltfiction.com. By the way, have started serializing the story, which is called, yes, The Off-Kilter Quilt, A Story, which is not about this podcast, by the way. I just couldn't resist when that title came to me. It fits the story. The main character actually uses the phrase that, you know, says something about describes the quilt as being off-kilter. I'm like, well, of course we have to call it this. So it is being serialized. So, yeah. So go check it out. By the time I post this, I don't know at what point we will be at. If the whole story will have been posted, don't know yet. Go check it out. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you think about serializing a story. I'd like to know. I'd like feedback on that. So I started handing out buttons. And then I loaded my pockets with buttons and just was obnoxious, but met people, talked to people, got buttons, and then I started feeling kind of at home at the show. There was like I had broken the ice. And one thing on Saturday, of course, more people were there. You know, so when we got there Thursday, I saw really a lot of women who look like me, about 50, with decent haircuts. And all the, good hair color, perhaps more to the point. And that was interesting. But then, you know, we were talking about it. And it's like, well, it makes sense. You know, our kids are older. We may have a little bit more money, being a little further along in life. So maybe at a place where it's pretty easy to take a couple days off of work and come to the show. By Saturday, all kinds of people were there. People from town, day trippers, the younger folks had showed up in their very cool but really incorrect footwear. I'm like, you're going to do a lot of walking. Those heels may not have been your best choice, but it was good to see them. So then it really felt like, oh, okay, now this is going on. And I also went to lectures. I went to Mary Fawn's. I went to one in the afternoon. The lecturer was named Anna, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, Anna Bonish. Bonish is B-O-E-N-I-S-H. She's a 24-year-old quilter. She calls herself the queer quilter. It's actually harder to say than you might think. Lives in Seattle. Did a lecture on learning from artists and other media. Now, I thought it was going to be more of a design lecture, and it really wasn't. It was a more of a practice lecture. Like, here's what she did is she went and talked with seven or eight of her artist friends, and Potter and a fashion, not actually a fashion designer, actually someone who's just incredibly fashionable, but the way she dresses in a way is a kind of art, a cook, a performance artist, and talked to them about their process and sort of drew lessons from their processes. It was very interesting. It wasn't what I was expecting, but I enjoyed it. The last one I went to, it was by the tattoo quilter. All my little devices are pinging. I've got a text. I don't know if you can hear that or not. The tattooed quilter, whose name is Chris something, can't tell you the last name, but do remember tattooed quilter. That's his handle on social media and photography. It was a great lecture. I learned a lot, and I was really happy that I took it. So I was pleased with all three of my lectures, and again, just felt more more in the flow of QuiltCon. And that's, I got out of that lecture, and that's when I ran into Krista, and then I just, it was getting really fun. And then went out to dinner with Holly Ann, Jen, Pam, and Lynn, the Stitch Girls. Jen from Orange County, and Carmeet. And I'm trying to think if there was anyone else. I don't think so. And we went to a very nice pub and had a great time. At that point, I'd eaten about three things that day, even though I had packed my lunch. I really didn't get a chance. I ate like part of my turkey wrap. At some point, ate a banana, but I really like didn't have breakfast. And so by the time we got to this restaurant, I was exhausted and really hungry, so I thought I'm not even going to be able to talk. Fortunately, wine will revive you in that situation. So I had a lovely dinner, went back to the house. Holly Ann headed back to Atlanta. Jen and I stayed up way too late talking. And then Jen got up in the morning for a 9 o'clock class with Angela Walters, which she said was great. I checked out of the house by 10. Went over. At that time, had planned to do one last swoop around the show. So I would have this, again, this amazing thing to tell you, this amazing overarching vision. But you know what? By Sunday, I could not see anything. I just really couldn't. I would look at a quilt and I wasn't looking. I just could not take anything else in. I really couldn't. So I ran into Carmeet and we went and got tea. And that was a really great way to end the show. As I've mentioned before, Carmeet lives in Munich. We've been friends for a while now online. I really enjoy her company. We have very similar tastes in art. Both interested in Cy Twombly. That was a big one. We like going to art museums and getting inspiration. Both like Paul Klee, like the German Expressionist, et cetera, et cetera. So we had a great time talking, and I like her. She's very down to earth. She's opinionated, but listens, and, you know, so you can kind of debate. But it's a wonderful meeting. Great way to end up. And then I got in my car and thought, please don't let me fall asleep on the road, which I didn't. And then I got home. So it was a wonderful weekend, and started out kind of like, did I do the right thing coming here? Ended up by going, I want to go to Nashville. I actually want to go to Pasadena. Probably won't, but I would if I could. If I get rich between now and then, I will. But Nashville, which is actually pretty far from here, it's a very fast flight, so I could see flying to Nashville. And, you know, I've got friends there, but I think I'd be more likely to stay in a house again, like with Jen and Holly. And if anyone else wants to join us, maybe we'll work something out. But definitely Jen and Holly. My home away from home, quilting family. Yeah, it was good. I'd recommend it. But knowing that at first, if you're like me, and may, hopefully you're more, I don't know, something than I am, less weird. It was interesting to me realizing, yeah, it's actually, this is a new place, this show. And you're going to have to get used to it and learn the lay of the land and get comfortable in it. But once I did, I was like, this is fabulous. It's fabulous seeing the quilts. It's fabulous talking to quilters. I had so many, and it was great having pins. So if you go, do buttons. If you've got a website, if you just want to do something, I've got some cute pins that were not connected to websites, just were really well-designed little buttons, pins. People love them. And it's a great way to start conversations. I highly recommend it. I think that there should be a QuiltCon button club. And the next time I go to QuiltCon, I am starting one. But do buttons, because it's really a great way to break the ice with people. Had so many great conversations with strangers, that I'll never see again. But I loved meeting and just having that five-minute chat. What did you do? What classes? What have you really loved about this experience? What do you think about the show? What quilts really caught your attention? Very fun. Highly recommend. Last thing I'm going to discuss is my experience having quilts in the show. If you followed this podcast for, say, at least 6 months, you know that in November I submitted 3 quilts to QuiltCon, and it made me a little nervous to do so. You know, it's one of those things, you're like, oh, this will be fun, I'm going to submit some quilts, and, you know, I probably won't get in, but who cares? It's not a big deal to me. And then as soon as I submitted them, I felt very nervous, and partly it was like, was this the right thing? How will it feel if they don't get in? I mean, I'm saying, like, it doesn't matter. I'm just doing this on a whim And, you know, I know that there are so many strong quilts out there and it doesn't really matter, blah, blah, blah. But part of me is like, it's going to hurt my feelings. Not for a long time. You know, it's not like getting a bad review from a big reviewing magazine, Publishers Weekly or Kirkus, something that actually hurts your career as much as your feelings. So it's not like that. It'll be a sting, I think, but I think I'll get over it and still enjoy going to QuiltCon. And at this point, I'd already signed up to go to QuiltCon. So yeah, but it still felt a little bit like, do I know what I'm getting into here? I'm like, I don't. And then I kind of got over that. And so it was much to my surprise, a few weeks later when I got, well, the first email wasn't a surprise because my quilt Paper Birds in the Air was rejected. I said, okay, that's okay. That's okay. The surprise was the next two emails about Modern Birds in the Air and Bauhaus Birds in the Air were accepted. And if you've been listening for any amount of time, I guess for the last few months, you know that I went into a tailspin of panic. I re-quilted, not entirely, but did some serious quilting repair on Modern Birds in the Air. I took off the binding. I blocked it, put the binding back on, washed it, etc. Blocked it again, I think, after I washed it. Yeah. Anyway. And then redid Bauhaus Birds in the Air, knowing that I might get disqualified, although I really looked up rules and found none about could you actually redo your quilt to make it better. I had heard people in my guild saying they did that. And my thinking was, it's the same quilt. And it's a quilt they looked at a photograph, not trying to trick them, not saying they'll be fooled, but they chose the quilt for the design. It's the same quilt, just a revised version. And then the other thing is the original photograph shows a quilt that's not particularly quilted. I stitched in the ditch, and I'm like, I have to do better. And so I re-quilted it, and I did kind of a spiral quilting. And also, I mean, it wasn't just, and it was actually hard. So the great thing about doing, so it's a paper piece pattern, so redoing the pattern was great because I was better at it. So the original one, I mean, there were huge problems. I would have been embarrassed to have it in the show, and I would take the risk of redoing it and having it rejected because it wasn't the exact same quilt. I would risk that before I would have this quilt. You're like, why did you send it? I don't know, because I didn't think I would get in. You know, it was just a whim, but, and then, so I actually, this one, I mean, you can tell if you look at the original picture that I posted on Instagram or wherever, you can tell that it's been, you can definitely tell that it's been that the quilting is different. The quilting, and I'll be honest, I love the quilting. I love the quilting. It makes it a much better quilt. So I just felt like, yeah, I'd rather have it rejected than not do this. So I redid them, and I mailed them in. Before I mailed them in, about 5 minutes before, I took a picture of the refinished Birds in the Air to have it in case it got lost, because I really liked the quilting and I wanted that recorded. Took the boxes to the mailbox. And by the way, this was actually the third time. I talked about this a couple episodes ago, the drama that was mailing these quilts. I've learned a lot from this experience. Came back, had taken the picture of the quilt lying flat on the floor, took it with my iPad, came back, actually looked at the picture, and it was wonky. The quilt was wonky, and I immediately went into panic. I actually took a bunch of pictures. One of the sanest things I did was delete the worst ones. But there's still the one I was left. It clearly, one side is much longer than the other. And so, and I podcast about that. And of course, people are like, you know, it's just the angle you took it from. It distorts. It's just a distorted picture. And I'm like, okay, maybe it is, maybe it's not. So that was, and I will say this again, a move towards sanity, deleting all the bad pictures, but I kept one. And then I was afraid, I'm like, I'm just going to wake up and like pre-shame sweat, right? Or pre-event shame. I don't, but you know, I'm going to just wake up and have anxiety about this in the middle of the night. But I really didn't. I really didn't. And I think it's because part of me knew it was probably just the angle of the iPad. I kind of knew, but you're still like, what if? What if? I'm going to be so embarrassed. But the funny thing is that when I finally got there, I saw quilts that actually weren't all that square. I think that this quilt still would have worked visually, even if it had been wonky. One of the kindest things ever done for me, Tina Wheezy Works, took a picture. She and Daisy got to the show. I think they got there Wednesday night. The show didn't really open until Thursday, right? They got there. They found my quilt. They took a picture and they Facebooked and tagged me. So when I'm on my way down to Savannah, stop at a rest stop, check Facebook, and there it is. There's my quilt. And they're like, everything's okay, honey. And I'd really kind of was feeling very nervous, even this drive, like, oh my gosh, what is this going to be like? And then I just immediately was just flooded with relief. It was such a kind thing to do for them to do. And they knew I was nervous about this. So I just love them for that. Okay, so I get to the show, you know, Friday morning, and Jen and I find that. And then we found Modern Birds in the Air, which I think the quilting looks great. As a quilt in that show, and I don't, this is not false modesty, please believe me, because I can be very braggy about Bauhaus Birds in the Air. Keep in mind, when I met Jackie Gehring, I said, you want to come see my quilt? I wanted her to see that quilt, you know, so believe me. I'm proud of my quilts, but visually, Modern Birds in the Air, as much as I like it, I love the quilting, although I did not quilt the borders, and now I wish I had. I didn't think they looked very good unquilted. But it's a smaller quilt. Something else, if you're thinking about QuiltCon, should I submit a quilt? I would go bigger. So it's like a 48 by, let's call it 48 by 40. That may not be quite right, but it's a smaller quilt. And it looks small. And Birds in the Air is tea tiny in comparison to the quilts around it. But it was a little bit small for an exhibit, not for a lap quilt, not to have around the house, but for an exhibit, it was a little bit small. And there were just so many visually striking quilts. So I'm not ashamed of it. I didn't feel anything other than I felt proud. I feel great affection for that quilt. It was fun to make. It was, you know, it's kind of a collaborative effort with friends, especially Vicky from my Creative Corner 3. So many ways I like that quilt very much. And the quilting I really liked a lot. And I thought it looked good. But it didn't have this, like I said, I felt overall not as strong of a visual impact. Now, it's a quilt I'm very familiar with. I've lived with for a long time. So I think if it had been the first time I've seen it, I think I would have thought, oh, quilt, that's a cute quilt. That's a cute idea. I like the colors, right? I like the quilting. But, you know, it's, but the quilt that people knew was Bauhaus Birds in there. One of the big thrills for me was, I think Thursday night, I checked Instagram. And people I didn't know were posting pictures of it and saying one of my favorite quilts in the show. Okay, see, I'm not afraid to be braggy. That felt really good. One of my concerns was, would I feel competitive with the other quilts? Other quilters going, well, is my quilt better or worse? No, it didn't turn out to be like that at all. I had no, I was not comparing quilts. You know, Bauhaus Birds in there doesn't look like any other quilt. There was not another quilt that looked like it. Just, you know, just as a different thing, right? Not saying it was the best quilt, it wasn't, and you know, but I'm saying it was just different in design than other quilts. So why compare? Why compare and contrast as apples and oranges? So no, I didn't feel that way. Will I do this again? If I will, I think I probably will, but I'm going to have some ground rules for myself. And one, if I submit a quilt to QuiltCon, it will be ready to ship. If I submitted it and they're like, "All right, we'll tell you in 24 hours," it will be ready. I could put it in a box the next day and send it if it got in. So yeah, I think I will. And I think of what Krista says. Krista Watson says, you know, why do you enter quilts? It's like, you know, it's kind of like to give yourself something to a goal. I'm going to make a quilt that I think is worthy of the show, that I think other people will really like to see. And it's, you know, and a quilt that's original and creative and graphically, you know, interesting. Yeah, and I think, yeah, I mean, I've already got ideas for quilts that I want to do. So now as we get close to the time, so you might reach out and say, Frances, I think it's great that you want to submit. Could you please go back and listen to your podcast from 2016? in early, like late 2016 and early 2017 when you mailed the quilts, and review those before you actually decide to submit more quilts. Fair enough. Somebody do that. Somebody volunteer to do that for me. But overall, the things that I feared, one, complete humiliation didn't happen. In fact, the opposite. I really got great response. I went and did a 3-minute go tell it at the quilt show video with Emma from Quilt Alliance, and I stood in front of the quilt and talked, and the people watched, and then they came up to me and just said, I want to tell you, I love that quilt. You know, it's really nice. Yeah, so I felt like, that's really cool. That felt really good. So I wasn't humiliated, quite the opposite. I was proud of both quilts. Would have done some things different with modern, just in terms of quilting the borders, but and making it bigger. But that's good to know too. It's good to go, okay, I'm seeing this quilt in a show and seeing other quilts and realizing what looks really good. Bigger quilts, you know? So yeah, I would do it again. It was a great experience. I'm really thankful for it. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for Jen and for Lynn who gave me rides, because driving in Savannah is not my bag. It's an old historic city, not my bag. And, you know, Lynn went out of her way to get me home safe after dinner, and Jen drove me over, you know, I guess what? Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and drove me home, and, you know, so I'm very appreciative of how good people were to me, particularly my friends, and how wonderful people were. Loved the quilts. Like I said, some were underwhelming, but they were made up for the ones that were overwhelming with quilty goodness. I'd do it again, and I know I'll be exhausted. I was exhausted from the minute I got there until I got home, but worth it. Totally worth it. Quilt Diary Day 2. I thought I was going to finish this up on Monday, and I didn't, and it's been busy, and I also got a cold. And this is, I knew, you know, a cold is coming, and so I started taking coldies, which was very smart because I have a cold. I feel a little bit tired, but it's not horrible. I'll try not to sneeze. But I felt it sort of chugging its way down the tracks up to my nasal passages, and it really kind of hit yesterday. I've been fine. I've actually been doing work, although I feel like I've just mostly what I've been doing is hanging out on Instagram. The life of a writer, believe me, I can be as lazy as I want. It does mean I don't get paid. But anyway, there were a few things I realized I'd forgotten. First of all, triangles. This was one of those things I was looking through the show, looking at quilts, and I came back to the Quilt Alliance booth where I saw my friend Emma, and I said, Emma, this is going to sound super weird, but one of the things I'm seeing a lot is triangles. And she looked at me, she said, you know what? I know exactly what you mean. Now, you think triangles, but triangles are a basic unit, a basic building block of quilt design and quilt patterns. How could that be in any way important, noticeable, distinct? But it was. I mean, if you see a quilt that has like a dark solid background and it has maybe three right angled triangles, right? That's what a half square triangle would be, right angled, 90 degree, right? Yeah, or is that 45 degree? I don't know. You know what I mean. My math is so bad. Anyway, yes. But you and just these discrete units, maybe in, you know, kind of wonkily placed. And you see that. In all kinds of different ways. I happen to like triangles. I'm not against them, but it was a weird thing to notice. And I just got Jessica, let me see if I can say her name correctly, Skulkity. Jessica Skulkity. She has a blog at quiltyhabit.com and puts out a newsletter called The Wonky Press. It's delightful. She's delightful. I met her. She came to the Quilt Alliance booth to say hi to Emma and Amy, and I saw her name, which obviously I can't pronounce all that well, but I saw it and was like, oh, I love your newsletter. She's lovely. I really like her. Anyway, she pointed out in her most recent newsletter, it's a really good, by the way, a really good recap of the show, much better than I've given you in a lot of ways. I think she actually saw a big picture, as did, I should say, my friends Jen and Holly Ann, and I've linked in the show notes to their recaps of QuiltCon. Anyways, she also notes a lot of churn dashes, and yes, there really were. So, yeah, so I noticed triangles. Other people I saw the wonderful Paula from Canada and her amazing husband, high energy husband, James. Loved him, loved her. Paula's like kind of quiet and, just quiet and has this calmness radiating. And James is, he's not loud, but he's just got a lot of energy and fabulous. They're both such nice people and they've gone to every QuiltCon. And James is a super volunteer. And so it was fun. I started seeing him around, slapping high fives with him. So that was super cool. And it was so nice to meet Paula. I met Andra, not Andra. I called her Andra last time. I just want to kick myself. Andra from East Tennessee, my old stomping grounds. Actually, she lives really close to where I used to live and where I got married. Anyway, she's gorgeous. And it was so good to see her. Saw Ellen from Scotland, who's just as fabulous as I thought she would be. I met Carol Al Shaw, who's on the Modern Quilt Guild board and was fabulous and took a picture of me next to my quilt and posted it on her Instagram. Wasn't that nice? I met Abby Glassenberg. Yeah, I did. And I just saw her. I recognized her and I saw her and I just went up and said, I just wanted to tell you I love your newsletter, which I do. If you're looking for some good newsletters, I would recommend Jessica's, particularly if you're interested in modern quilts. And I would also recommend Abby's while she naps. It's fun. It's informative. You know, she writes a lot about the business side of crafting, but she also, her links take you all over the place, and I really enjoy her. So I said, hey, saw Sandy from Crafty Planner Podcast, whom I adore, who I think is the best interviewer going. There are a lot of good interviewers. And speaking of interviews, I would highly recommend listening to Abby Glassenberg's interview with Thomas Knauer a few weeks ago. He is a pip. This man has some serious opinions. Some of this, he talked about the quilt industry and how he thinks quilting, the whole perfectionist tendency is really sort of a conspiracy on behalf of the quilt industry, right? Because if you're going to be perfectionist, you need gadgets, you need cool tools, you need rulers. I'm about to do not a mock Skype, but just I'm Skyping with the class tomorrow. And so as I'm talking to you, I realize, oh, my hair looks, I just put goo in my hair and it's sticking out and looks funny. Anyway, listen to that and tell me what you think. Very fun. Anyway, Abby Glassenberg, Sandy from Crafty Planner. Love her. And you know what? I'm going to have to pause and then I'll tell you what else and who else I saw. Okay, back in a sec. Okay, I'm back. I actually connected very easily with the school I'm Skyping with tomorrow, which means tomorrow will be an utter disaster. These Skype things are a little... they're hit or miss, you know? I mean, it's like it's Wi-Fi, which sometimes is hit or miss. And yeah. Anyway, so where am I? I was telling you about all the wonderful people I met. I just want to make sure that I mentioned everyone. I hope if I've missed someone, tell me. I'm sorry. You know, they talk about the QuiltCon hangover. It's a real thing. I mean, you know, if you're an introvert, it's just the introvert's hangover, right? I didn't know what I was feeling had a name. To me, it's just my life. Yeah. But anyway, so yes. So anyway, if I've forgotten anything important, if I have somehow forgotten wonderful you, please tell me. And then I'll say, hey, I forgot wonderful so-and-so, because I really haven't forgotten. I just don't have the bandwidth to actually think fully developed thoughts right now. The other thing, I was looking at my little notes and I had triangles and it was either Jen or Holly Ann and their QuiltCon recap mentioned the number of quilts with maps. And that is right. There were a ton. Oh, a ton. There were, you know, I feel like four or five. And I love that. I remember there was a book that came out. I don't know. I feel like it's been a while that was about maps. And I feel like perhaps I don't know. I'm not going to go there because I'm going to be making that up. But anyway, so I love these map quilts. They're very cool looking. They so work with the modern aesthetic. And so, yes, there were a lot of map quilts. It was a great experience. I will do it again. I think I'm repeating myself now, aren't I? Yes. Okay. Other things to tell you very quickly. I'll be back soon. This is kind of a special edition of the Off Kilter Quilt. I am doing the Instagram Quilt Fest, Instagram Quilt Fest. And a day late, I think a lot of people started seeing everyone posting their introductions. It started yesterday on Wednesday, March 1st. And now I'm, you know, Amy. I think it's Amy Ellis is doing it, but Amy's Creative Corner started this, and it's a 30-day thing, and every day you post a picture. Like yesterday was the introduction, today your sewing partner, and I did my introduction today because I was doing like, I'm going to see a lot of this, and I don't ever do things like this, so I'm actually going to do this. And it's so I did. I posted my introduction, and I'll post a picture of Travis, my sewing buddy, later today. But I'm glad, and then because then you go to the, you know, you just go to the hashtag Instagram Quilt Fest, and you see all these other people, and it's neat. And I go by and look at people's pictures and heart them, and if someone says something interesting or funny or dear in their introduction, you know, leave a comment. So and I don't know, I love that community building thing. So I'm doing that, and I think you could jump in at any time, quite frankly, but it's super cool. So I'm enjoying that. I'm glad I decided to jump in myself, even though it kind of goes against my religion. No, it's just something, again, that I don't usually do. We'll see if I last all the way through, but I like the idea of it. So that's it for now. I shall return. I will have things to tell you about the graphic star quilt, which may be called Stellar. That was AJ Dubs' name for it. I put a picture of the top on Instagram, posted that yesterday, and said, anyone want to give me a name? And got a bunch of good names, about 75% of them from Amy. So it's just like, oh man, I'm going to start sending her my manuscripts so she can title them, because I'm not very good with titles. It's not, I think there's a gift to that. And you either, you know, and if you don't have the gift, sometimes you get lucky. But I'm always searching around for titles for my books. So Amy's going to be my girl now on that front. Anyway, finish the top. I'll talk more about that next time here at the Off Kilter Quilt.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.